aircleaners.com and save.
Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pags Show.
This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Exactly right. Glad to have you. Great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, joepags.com. Also, Newsmax TV. It's the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you along for the ride. This hour brought to you by Boll & Branch. If you haven't gone yet, go to BollandBranch.com. Get $50 off plus free shipping right now at BollandBranch.com by putting in promo code PAGS. Get the world's most comfortable sheets again. $50 off, BollandBranch.com, keyword PAGS on a Thursday. I'm feeling all right. Say what? Ba-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Seems I got to have a change of scene.
That's how
every
we do.
Night I have strangest dream.
Oh, come on.
Imprisoned by the way it could have been.
Carrie, what's going on? You good?
I am just fine. How are you?
Wow, look at the superstar lighting on you today.
How about
nice.
That? Thanks to your daughter. Fantastic.
Sam stopped by, made it happen. Looking great.
Yeah, awesome.
Won't feeling good about it?
Lock the door. Yeah, I think it looks all right.
Let's go.
Feeling all right.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not feeling too good myself.
Who wants harmony? Carrie, you want harmony?
No, not from you. No.
Feeling all right.
A little too late. Sorry.
I'm not feeling too good myself.
Oh, man, that was
you should
rude.
Apologize for that.
I should. I'm sorry. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Lots going on, lots to get to, lots to talk about. And we're going to do all of that. Al Franken does exactly what I thought. Well, not exactly. I actually take back, Carrie. He doesn't do exactly what I thought he was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's doing what I said he would do. But when I feel like it.
He hasn't quite done it yet. In
right.
A couple weeks. Maybe.
When I feel like it, maybe.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that. Before we do that, though, there's something interesting happening outside. And Newsmax, I'm going to switch to a little piece of video here because I think people will find this interesting. I know I did. Now, I believe, Carrie, if you listen closely,
mm-hmm.
I believe there's actually some commentary by me on the video.
Oh, no. Okay.
What? Here we go.
All right.
The heck is going on out here? This is supposed to be South Central Texas. Brr. I'm dreaming.
Oh, no.
Charlie, what is going on? Yes, snowing in South Central Texas. How do you like that?
There you go. Now we'll go back to Carrie.
This is almost here.
There you go. So, listen, when there is snow in South Central Central Texas, why is that a problem for me to sing I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas?
Well, because you don't sing it well.
That's just like the ones we used to know.
No.
So you're saying no, but it puts you in the festive mood, doesn't it?
Oh, sure it does. It feels very Christmassy out there, yeah. Should be home
actually
from the fire.
Here's what I want you to do. We'll do this during break. But see, I don't mind showing people the duck's feet under the water.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to point that microphone at you more because you're so far away, I'm hearing a little bit of an echo. And that's interesting to me. I mean, you sound great. Don't misunderstand me. But it's just a little bit far away. But we wanted this before the show even started. Carrie said, I'm a star now with these lights.
No, I was just joking. And that was not meant for you to tell everybody what I said. It was just a little joke.
Because I can take a screenshot.
No.
And I can put it out there.
Just kidding.
So you're saying no. Okay. I just wanted to put it out there. All right. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. We're going to get to Al Franken. We're going to get into that, certainly, because who doesn't want to talk about Al Franken? He's such an interesting guy. I had somebody attack me yesterday on the Twitters because I guess I dared say that that Dayton, Governor Doofus is what I call him, he was going to appoint somebody who's a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Roger Burke, who's one of our great station owners, he says he loves the singing, and he says, go for it, Bing Crosby. Thank you, Roger. Thank you for your support when I can't get it from my coworkers.
Well, you can't get it from
what?
Me. Maybe Polo or Karina,
I'm just putting it right out there. I'm just saying. I mean, at least he's supporting me.
That's awesome. That's
But Al Franken, of course, Governor Doofus in Minnesota is going to replace him with somebody who's also a liberal. I mean, the governor's a big Democrat, a big liberal doofus. And without a doubt, now that what's his face said what he said, now I'll place a video on this in a little while, you're going to get a liberal to be his replacement. And what we have is, you know, idiots attacking me for saying that he's going to appoint a liberal. Oh, what's the matter with you and Roy Moore and blah, blah, doop, and dop. And I'm like, what? You're talking about, so I ended up blocking her ass because she deserved it. But yeah, he's going to appoint a liberal, but there will be a special election next year. And I got to tell you, man, Trump almost got Minnesota. Trump almost got that state. Would have been the first to get that state since whatever. Even what's his face? Ronald Reagan couldn't get it. I mean, really? Walter Mondale? Well, he's from Minnesota, but so what? Should have been a clean sweep. So it would have been amazing to see him get Minnesota. Having said that, this plays into, you had a horrible senator from Minnesota. You still do. He's not resigning yet. And then people complaining over and over and over again that he stole the election somehow, that they were taking votes out of the car trunks or something. Now you actually have, in Minnesota, we got one of our biggest stations in Minnesota, KTLK. We love being on Twin Cities News Talk. And I got to tell you, this is your opportunity. When the special election comes around, don't sit in your hands. Don't not take part. It would be amazing to get a Republican senator from the great state of Minnesota. So it'd be interesting to watch that. But yeah, I've been attacked on that. How dare you say that? Blah, blah, blah. And Roy Moore. That's the whole tactic, isn't it, Kerry? Roy Moore, yes, will be. You're going to talk about Roy Moore, what he said, what he did, allegedly
and
did.
And the president.
What President Trump said, what he allegedly did, or what he certainly said. And that's just the way it's going to be. So are you just going to sit there and look pretty today then, just not say much? Because you look great. But you're like, I'm not even going to talk.
Well, you were on a roll. I'm listening, so
wow.
I'm here. I'm here for you, buddy.
I don't know. Maybe we should take the lights down. Humble Kerry was much better, I think.
I'm still humble. I'm just kidding. It's just a joke.
I love that. I love that. 1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com. Start lining it up for Al Franken and what he had to say, because that's going to be a very, very busy topic that we'll be on for a while. Bottom of this hour will be Corey Lewandowski's own self. He, of course, the former campaign manager for then-candidate presidential candidate Donald Trump. They're still tight. They're still talking. He wrote a book called Let Trump Be Trump. He had another guy. Let Trump Be Trump. So we talked to him. It's first time I've spoken with Corey Lewandowski, and it went pretty well. You're going to hear a lot of insight into the campaign. Did anybody ever say stop with the tweets? Did anybody ever say, you know, maybe you shouldn't call him Lion Ted and Little Marco and all this stuff? You wonder if anybody ever stood up to him and said that. And, of course, in retrospect, it all worked. The guy won. So it's a very, very interesting conversation. Bottom of the hour, Corey Lewandowski. Make sure you stick around for that. Today is, in fact, December 7th, 2017. It is, of course, we remember. Please don't say you celebrate Pearl Harbor Day, because you don't. You remember it. You commemorate it. It was December 7th, 1941, when the Japanese did a sneak attack on Pearl Harbor and killed, what was it, 2,500 Americans, something like 2,400. I've got the actual history of it in front of me from history.com. Pearl Harbor is a U.S. naval base near Honolulu, Hawaii. Yes, it still exists. And it was the scene of a devastating surprise attack by Japanese forces on this day in 1941. Just before 8 a.m. on that Sunday morning, hundreds of Japanese fighter planes descended on the base, where they managed to destroy or damage nearly 20 American naval vessels, including 8 enormous battleships and over 300 airplanes. More than 2,400 Americans died in the attack, including civilians. Another 1,000 people were wounded. The day after the assault, President Franklin D. Roosevelt asked Congress to declare war on Japan. I mean, this is a big deal. It's a very big deal. We, of course, have another one of our big stations in Honolulu, and we love being on there. It was actually, we weren't on there for a long time, but now we're back on in like drive time, and we appreciate it. The ratings are through the roof. But Honolulu can actually hear us every single day on KHVH, I believe is the call letters, I'm pretty sure. Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, located near the center of the Pacific Ocean, roughly 2,000 miles from the U.S. mainland, about 4,000 miles from Japan. Therefore, no one believed that the Japanese would start a war with an attack on the distant islands of Hawaii. Additionally, American intelligence officials were confident that any Japanese attack would take place in one of the relatively nearby European colonies on the South Pacific, the Dutch East Indies, Singapore, or Indochina. Because American military leaders were not expecting an attack so close to home, the naval facilities at Pearl Harbor were relatively undefended. Almost the entire Pacific Fleet was moored around Ford Island in the harbor, and hundreds of airplanes were squeezed onto adjacent airfields. To the Japanese, Pearl Harbor was an irresistibly easy target. And it goes on and on and on. I'm going to probably link to this article from history.com. It's important that your kids know what happened at Pearl Harbor. It's important that we don't forget. Kerry, I saw some liberal loon the other day on, it might have been Fox, it was one of these channels.
Mm-hmm.
And what she said was, we have to get, New York and the United States have to get over 9/11 now.
What?
And I'm thinking, wow, if somebody believes that about 9/11,
no.
What must they believe about Pearl Harbor? That it's ancient history, don't worry about it? I mean, Pearl Harbor was, what, 76 years ago?
Yeah.
That's still not very long ago. There are plenty of people alive today who were born before Pearl Harbor.
Right.
So this is still relatively recent. Not that we should forget about any of our history, but my goodness, what the hell are we doing? No, you don't forget about 9/11. No, you don't put it behind us. No, you always remember what happened that day, and then you stay strong because of it. But Pearl Harbor, I mean, this was what got us in force into the Second World War. And Japan suffered mightily because of what they pulled that day. And the world looks like it looks today because of our reaction. We could have not reacted and just let them win. But because of our reaction, we became the superpower that we remain today. 1-800-383-9624, JoePags.com. When we come back, we'll get in earnest into what Al Franken had to say today. He does do what I said he would do yesterday, but just not how I said he would do it. I mean, it doesn't put a time frame on it, which is kind of weird. We'll do that. Bottom of the hour, Corey Lewandowski. Lots going on. Just getting going here on the Joe Pags Show. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
She's a hot baby.
Hey, absolutely right. Glad to have you here. It is the Joe Pags Show. 1-800-383-9624. JoePags.com. So, yeah, Al Franken did what we expected Al Franken to do today. To put it in a nutshell, Al Franken resigned today. But Kerry, strictly speaking, did he really resign?
Well, no.
But he did.
It's coming in a couple of weeks, apparently. He'll be resigning in a couple of weeks.
But he resigned, no?
But not today.
Just so stupid. So I'm going to go to some of the video of this, and it's like 11 minutes long, so I'm not going to do anywhere near as much as Al. I'm embarrassed. I'm not going to do anywhere near as much as I'm sure he would like me to do, but let me give you some of what Al Franken had to say today on the Senate floor. Okay, I'm going to switch to this news.
I felt that we had entered an important moment in the history of this country. We were finally beginning to listen to women about the ways in which men's actions affect them. The moment was long overdue. I was excited for that conversation and hopeful that it would result in real change that made life better for women all across the country and in every part of our society. Then the conversation turned to me. Over the last few weeks, a number of women have come forward to talk about how they felt my actions had affected them. I was shocked.
I'm going to stop it there, and I actually switched to something else by accident, so I'm going to have to go back to it. But I wanted to stop it there because of what he just said. What he just said was just total BS. What he just said, Kerry, he's still doing it. You know, these women feel as though I did something wrong.
Right.
These women feel, and I couldn't believe it. And somebody felt as though. And what the hell is he talking about? I just think, you know, that's just wrong on every level. The guy, listen, either admit that you did something wrong or don't. Make a decision and make that decision a real decision. I don't think we're asking too much. I'm going to go back to it, but I just found that to be really, really lame. As lame as the first time he did it.
Men's actions affect them. The moment was long overdue. I was excited for that conversation and hopeful that it would result in real change that made life better for women all across the country and in every part of our society. Then the conversation turned to me. Over the last few weeks, a number of women have come forward to talk about how they...
Why is he breathing like that? I mean, what's...
I don't know what's going on with that.
A little creepy, isn't it?
A little nervous energy.
A little creepy. Here we go.
They felt my actions had affected them. I was shocked. I was upset. But in responding to their claims, I also wanted to be respectful of that broader conversation. Because all women deserve to be heard and their experiences taken seriously.
They just want to stop. They should be heard and their experiences taken seriously. He's not admitting anything, is he?
No.
I mean, nothing, right?
Mm-mm. No.
That was the right thing to do. I also think it gave some people the false impression that I was admitting to doing things that, in fact, I haven't done. Some of the allegations against me are simply not true. Others I remember very differently. I said at the outset that
some of it wasn't true. Others I remember very differently. Kara, is he admitting to anything here?
No, he is not.
Is he taking any of the blame whatsoever?
No, I don't.
Okay.
The Ethics Committee was the right venue for these allegations to be heard and investigated and evaluated on their merits. That I was prepared to cooperate fully and that I was confident in the outcome. You know, an important part of the conversation we've been having the last few months has been about how men abuse their power and privilege to hurt women. I am proud that during my time in the Senate, I have used my power to be a champion of women.
I'm not following. I mean, now he's acting like he's out there speaking against men who are doing the things we know he did. Carrie, has he said anything apologetically?
No.
Okay, just checking.
No.
And that I've earned a reputation as someone who respects the women I work alongside every day.
You respect their butts. What? Did I? Carrie, did I just go there?
You just went there.
Well, if he took a picture with them, I think he respected their butts. No, didn't I mean?
He did not respect their butts.
I know there's been a very different picture of me painted over the last few weeks, but I know who I really am.
Yeah, and so do they. Mm.
Serving in the United States Senate has been the great honor of my life. I know in my heart that nothing I have done as a senator, nothing has brought this honor on this institution.
All right, so you just admitted that, well, I may have done it, but not as a senator, right? Is that what I just heard?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing I have done as a senator, he said.
Much.
And I am confident that the Ethics Committee would agree. Nevertheless, today I am announcing that in the coming weeks, I will be resigning as a member of the United States Senate.
There you go. Let me stop it there. Okay, I'm going to bring Kerry back on camera. Okay, so in the coming weeks, Kerry, he's going to resign as a U.S. senator. Didn't do anything wrong. As a senator, never did anything wrong. You can't believe this is going on. This is craziness. How dare they? But I'm going to go ahead and resign in the coming weeks. Is that really, I mean, typically a resignation? I mean, shouldn't it be, I resign, have a nice day, I'm going home.
Well, yeah, that's what I thought he was going to say today. Why not have your big news conference, or why not speak about it when you're actually going to do it at that moment? I am
resigning.
Could
not agree with you more. Could not agree with you any more than I do right now. To me, this is some game he's playing. It's very strange. Is he waiting so he could try to kill the tax bill? Is he waiting so he could try to shut down government by not agreeing to the budget? Your thoughts on this, we'll circle back to this. Al Franken, yes, he's resigning. Not today, in the coming weeks. Well, whenever I feel like it. In the meantime, when we come back, it'll be Corey Lewandowski, the former campaign manager for Donald Trump for president. Stay right here on the Joe Pags Show.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Great radio stations across the land, iHeartRadio, JoePags.com, also Newsmax TV. Glad to have you along for the ride, and really glad to have this guy on. It's Corey Lewandowski, the former campaign manager for Donald Trump for president. He's got a brand new book out called Let Trump Be Trump, the inside story of his presidency. It's out now, hot off the presses a couple of days ago. Corey, how are you?
Hey, Joe, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on today.
I really appreciate having your time today, Corey. I've seen a couple of other things that you've done, and one thing really jumped out at me, and I want to start here. You said that you never had any intention of running a political campaign. Well, then how the hell did it happen?
You know, I'll tell you, Joe, I grew up in a blue-collar town of Lowell, Massachusetts, where I learned the value of hard work and work ethic and loyalty. And by sheer dumb luck, I have no other tangible skills, so I decided to get into politics. I came from a very apolitical family, and I had never thought I'd be involved in a presidential campaign, let alone given the privilege and honor of running one, let alone being part of a winning one.
Right.
But that hard work that I learned in Lowell, Massachusetts, and that dedication, devotion, and never-quit attitude brought me to the precipice, the pinnacle of Republican Party politics, and I had the privilege of sitting next to the candidate, and now the president of the United States for a period of time. It's been an amazing journey.
It's Corey Lewandowski. He's written this book with David Bossie. It's called Let Trump Be Trump. And the title might sound a little bit aloof, but it's not. I mean, this guy is unique. He's a unique fixture in America in that he was known for 30 and 40 years as somebody who was famous, somebody who was building things. He was building things under budget and early. He would finish very different than other builders. And then he sort of started hinting, I don't know, 7, 8 years ago that maybe I'll look at a political run. And then he got serious about it. When he calls you and says, hey, Corey, here's what I'm going to do. Do you immediately, I don't know what your relationship was then, do you immediately say, well, let's talk about it, Mr. Trump, or do you immediately say, I'm on board?
I'll tell you, Joe, I write about this in the book, I think it's chapter 2 or 3. It's my history of meeting Donald Trump, and it was the most surreal thing, because my friend and co-author, Dave Bossy, asked me to go see Mr. Trump in his office in Trump Tower in one early day of January of 2015. And I said, what am I going to go see him for? And he said, look, Corey, he may run for office, and he'd like to talk to you. I said, come on, Dave, we know this isn't going to happen. Like everybody else, I was a naysayer.
Yeah.
And within 15 minutes of me having the privilege of sitting in front of him, he convinced me not only was he going to run for office, that he was going to win, that he had all the resources financially and otherwise necessary to be successful, that his family was going to be on board, and he was going to run a different kind of campaign. And he asked me if I would join him on this journey and start to put the pieces in place to help him be successful. And I instantly stood up. I shook his hand. I said, yes, I will. He said, you're hired. And that's how we started this thing, with two guys, Mr. Trump and myself. And then we built a small team. I called it the Island of Misfit Toys.
Yeah.
People who had never worked in politics before, who had one vision to change the country for the better, without their own desire to become famous or successful. It was all about Trump. And that's what that campaign was. And, you know, this book is a very honest, very raw assessment of how that went, for the good, the bad, and the ugly.
It's Corey Lewandowski. He's a co-author, along with Dave Bossy, of a book called Let Trump Be Trump, The Inside Story of His Presidency. Corey, how did this campaign mechanism come together? What I mean is, you're right, it was completely different than anything we'd ever seen. If somebody attacked him, he attacked twice as hard. He had no problem tweeting about people, making fun of them, coming up with names like Lion Ted and Little Marco. Was that sort of on that island where you guys were all together and he said, here's the right tactic? Or did he do it, then you guys had to react to it?
Well, almost everything on the campaign, I like to say that this campaign was 99.9% Donald Trump and 0.01% the entire rest of the staff.
Okay.
And, you know, did we try and react to some of his tweets? Sure, we did. Were many of those articulated ahead of time and discussed about the pros and cons? Well, of course they were,
yeah.
Right? But he's a forward-looking person. He's the greatest marketer, the greatest brander I think our country's ever seen. When you think of Lion Ted and Little Marco and Crooked Hillary,
yeah,
and all of the other names, you know, the term of fake news, which he coined, and so many others. He is so good at articulating things at the most simplistic level that people instantly grasp what he's talking about. They can understand it. And that's why he was so successful during the presidential campaign, because he was bold. He was brash. He acts like a blue collar billionaire. And we talk about it in the book.
Yeah.
He eats McDonald's and Kentucky Fried Chicken and pizza like everybody else does. And he took that message to the American people, and it gave rise to 10, 20, 30,000 people turning out to see him at these rallies across the country, and what he started was truly a movement, and it was an amazing thing to see.
The name of the book is Let Trump Be Trump. We're talking to Corey Lewandowski, the former campaign manager for Donald Trump for president. You hit on something that's really, really important there. Hillary Clinton and the left in this country pretend to be of the people and for the people. Donald Trump says, I live in this ivory tower. Everything in my apartment is gold, yet I truly am like you. And I didn't buy it, just like you might not have bought it before that meeting with him. But when you talk with the guy, and he talks on your level, and he talks about McDonald's and football and we've got to build America and love our country, he really does show that he's for the people, although he's worth, you know, anywhere between $4 and $10 billion, right?
Joe, he's so for the people. And if you look around the country, and this is a general statement, but look who supported candidate Trump.
Yeah.
Blue collar workers, people who have been left behind, people who've worked in factories who said, you know what, we can do better because we used to be better. People who say, I want to be proud to be Americans again. Law enforcement, firefighters, first responders, military at disproportionate numbers. You know, those are the people, the heart and soul of this great country, came out and supported Donald Trump, unlike the limousine liberals, the country club Republicans.
Yeah.
You know, those are the people that were afraid of Trump, because he is a change agent. And what he talked about in the campaign, and it's in the book, and what he brought to Washington, D.C., was a new mindset, a new way of doing things. And that scares the pants off of the establishment and the people who've made a very good living getting nothing done for a long time.
The name of the book is Let Trump Be Trump. It's Corey Lewandowski. Corey, how the hell did he do it? How did he get Wisconsin? How did he get Pennsylvania, Ohio? How did he get Michigan, for goodness sakes? Because, again, we all know he's rich. We all know he's famous. We all know he's a TV star. He still somehow was able to hit something in the hearts and minds of these people. What was it?
Well, number one, he just sheer outworked his opponents.
Yeah.
I mean, between the 16 Republican primary challengers and his general election opponent, he just outworked her. Hillary Clinton was taking a nap for a week before a presidential debate. Trump was doing seven stops a day in four different time zones,
yeah,
and just kept going. And there's one section in the book, and it has not gotten any credit, but it should. of the amount of time we spent on his airplane. We bought 998,000 gallons of jet fuel in a year and a half
wow.
for the campaign. We put the plane down in 45 cities, made 722 stops. I mean, it was amazing the amount of time we traveled, how much time he traveled and put in on that airplane.
The name of the book is...
The reason being is he just wanted to get things done. And his message, Joe, he would go to blue-collar towns of Pennsylvania and say, don't you think it's unfair that China is ripping us off on trade,
yeah.
that countries are manufacturing and sending to us, and we're the suckers who are buying it. And these people understand that there was a time where that wasn't the case, that they used to not have to apologize to being American, and then everybody started becoming a globalist. Everybody had to be worried about what happened in all the rest of the world and stopped caring about what happened here. And the mainstream media made Americans feel bad about being Americans. And what Donald Trump said is, if you elect me, I'm going to make America great again. I don't care. I'm not running to be the prime minister of Great Britain or the premier of some other country. I'm going to run to put America first.
Yeah.
And it is a notion that was the complete opposite of the previous 8 years of the Obama administration, and that's what propelled him to victory, amongst other things.
I want you to go and get the book. It's called Let Trump Be Trump, The Inside Story of His Presidency, written by David Bossy and my guest, Corey Lewandowski, former campaign manager. They tried every tactic. Corey, they tried everything. He's a womanizer. He's a sexual abuser. He's a tax cheat. He's a white supremacist. As these attacks come in, by the way, and he's told me this face to face, he was stunned that the media, he thought they were his friends because he made a lot of millions of dollars for NBC on The Apprentice. He was stunned that the media came at him like they did. How do you continue to take those hits and still end up winning on November 8th?
He did through sheer velocity of the media attention he got. Look, he generated $4 billion in earned media.
Wow.
And what this candidate did as a 70-year-old and now a 71-year-old president, he mastered social media. His social media activity revolutionized the way people campaign. Between his Twitter followers, Facebook, Instagram, the whole thing, he can reach out and bypass the mainstream media and fight back against the false narrative.
And they hate that,
like
don't
the guy
they?
From
they
NBC.
Hate it. They hate it, don't they?
Oh, of course they hate it because it takes all their power away because it goes directly to the people, the mainstream media, the elitists, the people in the ivory tower of, higher education, the globalists. They hate the fact that Donald Trump goes directly to the people with a message that they don't agree with.
It's stunning that he got it done. I'm glad he did. I voted for him. I'm glad that you were a part of it. But it seems to me, and this is true, by the way, the book is Let Trump Be Trump. Go and get it. The title of the book suggests this, Corey. If you have to write Let Trump Be Trump, I'm guessing there might have been some inner workings in the campaign where people were saying, he's got to stop being so Trump. Was there a moment before it was sure that he'd be the nominee? Was there a moment where you guys collected on that island and said, somebody's got to talk to him about these tweets because we fear they're going to hurt him?
Well, sure there was, because, look, what happened is you get closer to being the Republican nominee, more and more people all of a sudden become your friends who weren't your friends before.
Right.
And everybody wants to give the same advice. If you are the vanilla, boring candidate, you will not offend anybody. And if you offend anybody, you can't get elected. And what we said was, sir, don't change. Don't ever change. What we want you to do is be the same person. Be you, and you'll be successful. If you change and you turn into the same vanilla candidate that every other Republican has run, then you're going to lose. And he didn't want to do that.
Why when you said vanilla candidate, did I get a picture of John Kasich in my head? Just my head, Corey. You didn't say his name. I'm just
saying.
Well,
I didn't say one for 49, John. I didn't say one for 49, John. I mean, he won one state out of 50. He did a fine job.
All right, it's Corey Lewandowski, former campaign manager. Last question. I think this is a big deal for the president. I know it is, because I think that's why I keep getting Eric on. That's why I had the opportunity to go to the White House and interview the president. He believes in loyalty. Loyalty is key for him. But you are in, then you are out, yet you still appear to be in. So is it a matter of loyalty goes further than just about anything else for him? Or is there something else going on?
Well, I used to say in the campaign, I read about this in the book, this campaign was really about two things. One, our loyalty, meaning the staff loyalty to the candidate, was absolute.
Yeah.
And his loyalty to the staff was absolute. So just because I wasn't employed by the campaign anymore doesn't mean I didn't do everything humanly possible and go into the octagon of CNN every night on an 8-on-1 to fight for him, because that's what I knew the right thing to do was.
Right.
And loyalty is so important in life.
Now, are you still talking to him on a regular basis?
You know, I've got an amazing privilege. I had the opportunity to present the book to President Trump last week when
I saw
him. He was very kind and gracious. He asked me to sign it to him, which I did. And I'll tell you, I never would have had this type of life experience if it wasn't for Donald Trump. I write all about it in the book. I'm a poor kid from Lowell, Massachusetts who grew up and got lucky.
We've got a lot more that we can talk about. We've just burned through 13 minutes like it was nothing, Corey. I really appreciate the time. Let Trump Be Trump, the inside story of his presidency, written by Corey Lewandowski and also David Bossy. Well, can we do it again, my friend?
Joe, it would be my honor. You tell me when, I'd be honored to come back on. You're so good. Thank you.
I absolutely appreciate it. It's Corey Lewandowski. Go and get the book, Let Trump Be Trump. We're back after this on the Joe Pag Show. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pag Show.
All right, great to have you. It is the Joe Pag Show. Great radio stations everywhere. Hope you got something out of the Corey Lewandowski interview. I enjoyed interviewing him. I hadn't met him before. Had not talked to him before. I like what he had to say, and it looks like this is going to be a great book. Let Trump Be Trump. Carrie, you hadn't talked to him either, right?
No, we have not.
We've been familiar with him for a long time, though. He's a guy that was the campaign manager. He got in some trouble where reporters said that he manhandled her or something like that, and then the charges went away. Yeah. But I mean, he's a guy who's been a loyalist to Donald Trump for a long time. So even, like when I brought it up, even though he wasn't a campaign manager anymore, he had like a different role. Then he went to CNN, and then people at CNN freaked out. How would we ever pay this guy as a contributor? Then he went back and was working with Trump again. Then I guess he wrote the book. And we'll have him on again. I think we hit it off pretty well. And there are a lot more topics that I want to get to with him. But I'm glad that we had him this week. When the book was coming out, they offered him up the day it came out on the 5th. And we were able to get him on today, which I really appreciate. You want to do that Al Franken story now? Because this is the latest charge against Al Franken, who basically said, I'm resigning, but when I feel like it.
Yeah.
Today. And then as he was saying it, he said, basically, I didn't do anything wrong. And the women who say I did something wrong, we should respect their feelings, but I remember it differently, but I'm stepping down. Give me this story. Now, this is from somebody who, again, is a lefty. This is, I mean, if you're at the Media Matters Party, you're somebody who is probably politically aligned with Al Franken, no?
I would imagine. This is from Fox News. A prominent liberal journalist whose work has appeared in the Los Angeles Times and Newsday accused Minnesota Senator Al Franken on Wednesday of groping her at a Media Matters Party during President Barack Obama's first inauguration in 2009. In a lengthy piece for The Atlantic, journalist and radio host Tina Dupuy accused the Democratic senator of putting his hand on my waist, grabbing a handful of flesh, then he squeezed at least twice while the two posed for a photo at the party. It shrunk me, Dupuy, who had been married for 2 years at the time of the alleged sexual assault, wrote in The Atlantic. It's like I was no longer a person, only ornamental. It said, you don't matter, and I do. He wanted to cop a feel, and he demonstrated he did not need my permission. And the party was hosted by Media Matters for America, a progressive news watchdog site that's known for its aggressive criticism of conservative journalists and media outlets, including its war on Fox News. And Dupuy becomes the 8th woman to accuse Franken of unwanted sexual advances, and her accusations come only a day after another woman accused the 2-term senator of forcibly trying to kiss her following a taping of his radio show in 2006.
So there you go. In 2009, was he a senator, or he became a senator in 2010?
I think it was 2010.
Yeah, I'm not actually sure. Those of you in Minnesota can be sure for me.
But I know at that time, sure, I think he was a radio. I was a talk show host, right?
He was in 2006 when that happened. I don't know. Long story short is, and you may be right about this, I know in 2006 he was, when he was on the USO tour, which is around that time, like 2005, 2006. Mm-hmm. But it just appears that anywhere Al Franken went, these women have strange recollections. They just have weird recollections, no matter where Al Franken.
I remember it like he
guys,
does.
Guys, I don't remember. So he's going to go, but we don't know when he's going to go. And I think that what he said today was pretty much BS, to be honest with you. I'm going to resign, but when I feel like resigning, and there's really no reason to resign, but I'm going to resign. Let me go to Robert, who's in Mississippi. Robert, what's going on? Hi.
Hey, Mr. Joe, how y'all doing?
Living the dream, my friend. Talk to me.
Listen, I was going for that Al Franken thing and Roy Moore. I think what it all is about is they're just trying to get rid of Roy Moore. And I believe we all know it. I'm from Pensacola, Florida, right there on the border.
Yeah.
And I hear it, everybody around my counties, and they're all saying the same damn burn thing. You know what I'm saying?
What is it that they're saying? If they're all saying the same thing, what is it that they're saying?
Lie. They believe it's all a lie about what's going on with that. And they think what is going on is they're the Al Franken deal, they're just putting it, Democrats are trying to sacrifice him to put to get rid of Roy Moore.
I got you, and I think that you might be right. We'll expand upon that when we come back. Also, some Trump tweets. Another big hour coming your way, the Joe Pags Show. Stay right here.
You're listening to Joe Pags.
Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pags Show.
This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, great radio stations across the land, iHeartRadio, JoePags.com, also Newsmax TV. It's the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you along for the ride. It is a Thursday. Feeling all right? Uh-huh. Say what? By the way, snowy Thursday in South Central Texas. Holy mackerel.
Seems I got to have...
Carrie, it is like wintertime out there.
I know. It does look like Christmas, doesn't it?
What are the temperatures doing?
Right now, I know in the hill country, it's getting right close to freezing. San Antonio, it's about 38, 37 degrees right now.
So San Antonio proper, no snow. But if you go north of San Antonio, like where you live, like where I live, it's snowing.
Yeah, and even we're getting some snow flurries here in San Antonio, but it's wet. It's not sticking.
All right. Well, I'm feeling all right. See what she did? She talked so I couldn't sing.
Sorry.
I get it. No, I understand. The people at home actually thank you. Here we go.
You're welcome.
Feeling all right.
Oh, man.
I'm not feeling too good myself.
All right. A little of that for you. All right, so all kidding aside, I lived in Michigan 8 years. You're from the cornfields of Nebraska.
Yeah.
You lived there, but I don't know if you drove there. Were you driving age there?
I turned 16 and got my car, and I was driving in Nebraska in the wintertime.
And you slid off the road?
There were a few times, yeah. You definitely have to learn how to drive on the ice.
I might have dumped the car in a ditch.
Yeah, you might have, or you did.
It was a front-wheel drive car, too, and I dropped it right in the ditch.
Yeah, it's pretty nasty, that ice. You hit an ice patch.
Well, it does. Now, here's the thing. The people in South Central Texas, I love you. When I say that, I mean, I love you. Love. Girl. Love.
Okay.
So, I love you, but you can't drive in the rain. You can't drive when it's drizzling out. Yeah. I'm going to make a suggestion. If you don't need to drive tonight, don't.
Yes, please.
And if you do need to drive tonight, quite literally go 25 or 30 miles an hour slower than the speed limit, unless it's a 25 mile an hour zone, then you wouldn't be moving. But there is no real forgiveness when driving in the snow. You start going one way, it's going to be really hard to stop. And again, I was playing around because we lived on this little dirt road up in Eaton Rapids, Michigan, and slid the car right off the road in the ditch. Have a nice day. How you doing?
Yeah.
You don't want to do that. You don't want to be that guy. You don't want to be who I was that day. So all seriousness, no matter where you are listening to this program, and especially those of you not used to having snow where you live, hello, where we are, just slow down. Go really, really slowly. You're not used to it. So you're really not. It's not the same as rain. It's very different than rain.
Yeah, absolutely. Please be careful.
Now, we happen to be renting a house in the middle of nowhere on a bunch of acreage one wintertime. And I remember taking my Suburban, this old beat up Suburban we had, and just taking it through the fields and just going nuts.
Yeah.
That's not the same as driving on the road. Do not do that on the road. Stop it.
Please don't.
What is the low going to be in San Antonio tonight? Is it going to be freezing in San Antonio proper?
San Antonio or not? Now, or about an hour ago, the low is going to be about 35.
Okay. So it probably not going to stick much, but I've seen your pictures. You've seen my pictures.
Yeah.
And at our houses, which are separate, I think people sometimes think we live in the same place. And if we did, I'd kick you right out because I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
But, we both live north of the city, and it's sticking.
It is. That's what my husband said.
It's going to hang around.
Yeah. There is quite a lot of it right now. I talked to the Weather Channel, and this is about maybe 2 hours ago, and they did say, you know, about the ice, you know, maybe not so much in San Antonio, but especially in the hill country, and when it gets down to freezing or below freezing, especially tonight, you just want to be careful, you know, those icy patches like, you know, the bridges and the overpasses and things like that.
Now, let me ask you this. I'm going to switch gears here. Should I play a little more of Al Franken or let it go?
I don't know. I'd let it go. But it's your show.
It's a whole lot of, I'm going to resign, but not yet. I'll resign when I feel like it. In the coming weeks, I'll resign. And, oh, by the way, I did nothing wrong. By the way, I did nothing wrong. Yeah. So, a lot of people still on the phone line for that. That's the long and short of it. Al Franken is stepping down. Just won't tell us when. In the meantime, I think we have to do some
Texas, Trump tweets.
Wow.
Okay.
Get longer and longer every day.
They do. And you know what? The people enjoy them more and more every time.
I know they do. I know.
Do not. See, I know what you're doing. Do not.
Okay.
The president this morning at 8:08 a.m. I'm just going to take a guess because, Carrie, I'm not sure, but I'm going to take a guess that he probably was watching Fox and Friends.
Hey, that's probably a good guess.
8:08 a.m. this morning. Go get the new book on Andrew Jackson by Brian Kilmeade. Really good at Fox and Friends.
There you go.
Not only wasn't there any doubt when he mentioned Brian Kilmeade, who we had on last week, but we certainly have no doubt when he starts, you know, adding at Fox and Friends.
Yeah.
At 10:04 this morning, National Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day, a day that will live in infamy, December 7th, 1941. Exactly right. And then he follows that up with at 11:16, today our entire nation pauses to remember Pearl Harbor and the brave warriors who on that day stood tall and fought for America. God bless our heroes who wear the uniform, and God bless the United States of America. Hashtag Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day. I got to hear some of the audio. I guess he had some survivors of Pearl Harbor in the White House. And it was pretty amazing. These guys are in their 90s, early to mid to even late 90s. And one guy sang the Remember Pearl Harbor song. I don't think I'd ever heard that before.
Yeah.
And for a second, I was going to be honest with you, because I couldn't see it. I could hear it. For a second, I thought the president started singing the Pearl Harbor song.
Oh, you thought it was the president. Ah.
And I was thinking to myself, he's going to take a beating over this. He's got a bunch of veterans there from Pearl Harbor, survivors from Pearl Harbor. And he's singing the Pearl Harbor song. But then, you know, you heard later, oh, wasn't that one? And the president's like telling the guy how wonderful it was. So I realized, oh, good. It was actually a veteran who did it.
Yes, it was.
And it seemed to be just a great ceremony. Did you hear or see any of this?
I did, as a matter of fact. Yeah, I saw a little bit of it.
I thought it was pretty excellent.
Yeah.
And I think it's appropriate. This president loves the country. He's doing the right thing. He also, of course, threw this in there, that we're going to do this same celebration, the same proclamation, every one of the next 7 years. So he's planning on winning re-election in 2020, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
For those who think they're taking him out, he's not going anywhere. He's going to put it right out there. 1-800-383-9624. I've got one call on Pearl Harbor. Mike's been very patient. I'm going to take that, then I'm going to go back to Al Franken because everybody else wants to talk about Al Franken. All right, so let me grab Mike in Arizona. Mike, what's going on? Hi.
How you doing, Joel? Good to talk to you again.
Living the dream, my friend. What's up, Mike?
I think about my dad, who was 17 years old, working at a Chicago gas station, listening to a ball game. When it flashed him over the radio about the Japanese Air Force attacking our Navy ships at Pearl Harbor, and my dad said to himself, "Where in the world is Pearl Harbor?"
I bet before it happened, I bet most Americans didn't know where it was before it happened, right? I think that's a very good point.
Yeah, but he signed up with the Marine Corps, and he went to Kwajalein, and he fought at Peleliu, a place called Bloody Nose Ridge, and young punk kid as I was, I wanted to go to Vietnam, and I asked him, I said, "Dad, how many guys did you kill?" And he got stone-faced, he turned around, he looked at me, he goes, "I see enough dead men to last me the rest of my life. You don't ever ask me that again." And
I got you. I hear you. I can absolutely appreciate that. Oh, as I'm taking the call from Mike and his phone, I think Mike might put his face too close to the phone. Is that possible?
That could be, I guess.
Because it's very much like, but I love him. He's excitable. He's a guy who's ready to go. As I got that that call from Mike, I had some email come in about how I'm somehow fake news. I didn't see that coming. Did not realize that I was the fake news. Let's see here. Oh, look at this long-ass thing. Oh, he's got some big, long email. This is from Tom. Let me say, this is how I deal with people like Tom, the fake, because they take it very seriously. Delete.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. And it's gone. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Your call's on Al Franken when we come back, and much more as we keep on going here on the Joe Pags Show. Stay here.
Joe Pags.
Hi, great to have you. Welcome to the program. Thanks. It is the Joe Pags Show, 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. At the bottom of the hour, Carrie, if you don't mind, grab me the story out of New Mexico. I guess there was a school shooting there today. We want to give people an update on that if we can get that.
Okay.
All right, so I appreciate you doing that. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. A lot of people want to be heard on Al Franken. Here's my takeaway, and we talked about this yesterday. Al Franken, we knew, was going to say he was resigning today. I thought he would resign today and then leave. He didn't.
He said he was going to resign, and he isn't saying when he's going to resign. He said in the coming weeks. He also complained about the president. He also complained about Roy Moore. This is the setup. Now that we've gotten rid of, we purged John Conyers. We've purged Al Franken, or we're going to anyway. We're now all complaining about Bill Clinton like it's somehow revelation. Oh, I can't believe that. I had no idea he was this guy. So the Democrats, they now are staking a claim. We are cleaning house. What about you guys? And that's what they're going to say. What about you guys? Why aren't you cleaning house? And that's now the result. You're seeing it more and more. Almost immediately, the pundits on the left started talking about how well, now you got to do something about Moore. See, the election's 5 days away in Alabama. A lot of great listeners in Alabama. And the pressure is going to be really, really, really on for the Republicans to call out Roy Moore. They're not going to. Those who are supporting him will continue supporting him, unless there's something really earth-shattering that comes out proof-wise about these allegations. Those who aren't supporting him will stay quiet. I don't think they want to disrupt anything. And Roy Moore, I believe, is going to win Tuesday. And when he wins, when he gets to the actual Senate halls or the Senate chamber, what will Mitch McConnell do? That's really important. Later in the program, John Lewis, we have to say this, civil rights icon. We have to say that when we talk about John Lewis. He has made some announcement about some civil rights museum that's going up and a reason why he wouldn't attend. So the guy, it turns out the guy's just a racist. And that's, he's not the same John Lewis that was beaten and battered fighting for civil rights back in the 1960s. He's just not. He's a different guy. So we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Right now, though, a ton of people want to hear or want to speak on Al Franken. And I've got people calling in from Minnesota where, frankly, the numbers of Democrats versus Republicans in the Senate certainly matters. But who your senator is from Minnesota matters more to those of you in Minnesota. So let's talk to some people in Minnesota. Erlene, I appreciate you taking the time. What's going on? Come on, Erlene, listen to the phone, not the radio.
Hey, I totally agree with you about it's a setup. And Franken's speech was about as phony could be. Because if he really, he talked about how much they care about women and they, you know, they need to be taken care of. If he really felt that way, he would have come out before now and admitted what he had done. And right. All the rest of them as well. Why didn't they come out before they were totally exposed? So to me, that was just,
well, yeah.
It was phony.
And you know, so what's going to happen in Minnesota? Governor Doofus is going to appoint somebody just like Al Franken, though, politically.
He's going to appoint Keith Ellison. That's who he's going to appoint.
You think he's going to make Keith Ellison? Keith Ellison's already in the House. He can't. He's not just going to say, you're going to be the senator, Kenny. I guess he can.
He can. And that's exactly what's going to happen. And they're trying to set up Trump. And this is what it's all about. They're trying to set Trump up, and I believe, and more along with them. This is their plan. We should know now how dirty they fight. We should know this by now. And so this is the plan. So you just...
Erlene, I hear you. That's a scary plan. Well, not scary. I'm not afraid of Keith Ellison, but man, that would make sense. Governor Doofus probably would do something like that. But Keith Ellison becoming the senator, that actually might work out well for Republicans. Because I don't think that, I could be wrong, though, and I've been wrong about Minnesota before. I don't think Minnesota as a whole wants Keith Ellison to be one of the two representatives. And by representatives, I mean senators. You only get two. I don't think that's what they would want. I could be dead wrong about that. Ellison, the second-ranking member in the DNC, behind, what's the guy's name? Perez? Or do we say Perez?
Perez. That's how you would say
the guy, Tom, is it Tom Perez, who can't stop saying the F word just wherever he is?
Oh, yeah.
F this, F that. He just keeps on dropping the bomb. Keith Ellison wanted that job. He became the vice president or something of the DNC. That I did not, Erlene, I think that you're onto something. I did not even consider that it could be Keith Ellison. Let me go back at it and say hello to Mike, who's also in Minnesota. Mike, what's up?
Good morning. I'm glad to talk to you. I always loved your show.
Is it morning where you are?
No, but it's just makes me feel happier.
Okay, I'm glad you're happy, Mike. What's up?
You know, I've been out about town, and, you know, at the cafe and at the bank, they can't believe what Franken said. And their biggest fear is the one that the other woman said, Allison as senator.
Is that really what's going around Minnesota, that he's the guy who's in line?
Well, there's two people. One is the lieutenant governor, and the other is Ellison. And Ellison seems to be the stronger candidate.
Has Dayton said anything?
Dayton has made statements, but not. But I don't listen to him too much.
Yeah. No, I don't blame you. I wouldn't listen to him too much either, to be honest with you. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Going to be Harvey, who is in New York. Harvey, what's going on?
Hey, Joe, great talking to you. You're a voice of the wilderness, my friend.
Hey, appreciate
I got a theory on why Franken didn't step down. I think what he's doing is he's...
He's what? Yeah, I think I lost his phone. Harvey, I think your phone died. Plug your phone in. What the hell's the matter with you? Carrie, why can't people plug their phones in?
I don't know. I don't know what happened.
Is that asking too much?
Bad cell service or something. I don't know.
Yeah, let's go ahead and plug the phone in. Back at it, going to be Larry. It could be Wayne in Maryland. Wayne, what's going on? Hi.
What's up, JP? How you doing? Wayne Dupree. What's going on?
Living the dream, my friend. What's happening, Wayne? Talk to me.
Listen, you know, I'm watching that Kabuki Theater that was out there today. And, you know, at first I was like, okay, I'm watching him, what he's doing. I didn't understand why he was going to the Senate until somebody said, you know, they have immunity on the Senate. They can't be prosecuted for whatever they say. So even if he decides that he's going to change his mind, he really can't hold it against them because, you know, he said it on the floor of the Senate. You can't hold it against him. But in watching what he did, I was like, okay, well, you know, he's putting it out there. He's like, listen, I am going to resign in a couple of weeks. But like everybody else is saying on tonight, he didn't say he was going to resign today. So bottom line, everybody knows that he's going to watch to see what happens on Tuesday. And then he's going to change his mind. Hey, well, since Republicans are going to elect more, then I'm going to stay right here. Even if Franken had left today, even if he had left today, there's a Democrat that's in office right now, a dreamer, as a matter of fact. His name is Ruben Kion. Nancy Pelosi helped him get in office last year. She asked him to step down last week because of sexual allegations. This dreamer says, wait a minute, hold on, Nancy. You came and campaigned with me last year, and you knew about the allegations last year. Now I'm not stepping down. So just because Franken is gone, you still got Menendez, you still got this Keon, you still got there's a Latino senator that's a drunk that paid $50,000 off to Stafford.
I don't know who the drunk Latino senator is. Listen, I'm right up against the break, Wayne. I think that you make an interesting point that this Al Franken isn't the end of it. Al Franken certainly is the biggest name, and he's a senator, not a member of the House, which is a big difference. But no, he's not the end of it. When we come back, we'll get an update on that school shooting in New Mexico, what John Lewis is doing about the Civil Rights Museum, and much more on the Joe Pag Show. Stay here.
Joe Pag.
At 43 in Bernie.
Al Franken resigned. Now the Democrats will call on the Republicans to throw one of their own over. Should you? Coming up at 8 on the Michael Berry Show.
Great to have you. Welcome to the program. Great radio stations all over. iHeartRadio, JoePags.com, also Newsmax TV. 1 hour from now on radio, if you missed my interview with Corey Lewandowski, I'll bring it back to you. He's got a new book out called Let Trump Be Trump. And we get a lot of insight from him, from the campaign trail, from the loyalty standpoint. Did the then candidate listen to those who surrounded him? So I'll have that for you. Right now, though, I want to get, and a lot of you want to talk about Al Franken, and we'll blow through some of these phone calls. I also want to get John Lewis and that debacle in here. Lindsey Vonn, which he had to say about who she's competing for in the Olympics or something. Also, Jennifer Lawrence, I guess, has attacked the president as well. There's something wrong with these people. They're actually unhinged. But right now, I want to get this news story updated. Carrie, if you don't mind, what happened in New Mexico today?
From CNN, two students were killed in a shooting Thursday at Aztec High School in Aztec, New Mexico. State police said on their verified Twitter account, and the suspected shooter is also dead. There are no other injuries to other students or school faculty, officials said in a news conference Thursday afternoon. Officials said the shooter was a male, but did not provide any other details, such as whether he was a student or a visitor. Aztec police received a call about the shooting about 8 a.m. a.m., officials said, and students were in class at the time. Aztec in San Juan County is a small town in northwest New Mexico, about 3 hours from Albuquerque, and Farmington authorities assisted in the response to the shooting. Officials were working on clearing the buildings before the shooter was reported down, according to San Juan County CEO Kim Carpenter. At the San Juan County Sheriff's Office posted on Facebook, parents should pick up students at the police department. New Mexico Governor Susana Martinez said there were several acts of bravery from staff, teachers, students, and police that saved lives and prevented the incident from becoming deadlier. All New Mexicans are with Aztec, she said. Garrett Parker, a sophomore at Aztec High School, said he was in a classroom when students heard what they thought was someone punching the lockers. As the noise got louder and the suspect got closer to the classroom, they realized it was gunshots, he said. And the whole classroom had to hide until they were told by officials to walk out of the room toward the back of the building and toward the parking lot, Garrett said. They were then split into groups by alphabetical order of their last names and taken to a park to meet their families.
All right. It's always sickening to hear about a school shooting. Carrie, I was off reading something else, and I might have missed this. How did the shooting stop?
They don't say. There hasn't been a whole lot of details coming out about this. I mean, even who was the shooter? Was he a student? How did he get on campus? Yeah. We don't know.
And I'm going to go back to my old standby. And by the way, because of the snow emergency that we're having in the San Antonio area, I know that you've got to go run and do something.
I do.
And I appreciate that. So we'll switch this back. Newsmax, just stay on me here. I'm going to go back to my old standby, which always works in a situation like this. When somebody shows up at a school, that person knows it's a gun-free zone. I don't know why it's so hard to understand, so I'll try to make it as clear as I can for you. If you're calling the school a gun-free zone, and if you are legislating or by ordinance or by whatever, making it a gun-free zone, people like me, who carry guns, will not bring our guns to the school. Kind of makes sense, right? When you say the law is you can't have a gun here, the people who won't bring a gun there are those who abide by the law. A bad guy who's willing to shoot people dead, innocent people at a school or a church or a whatever, at a mall, they don't care that it's a gun-free zone because they're cool with killing people with the gun. If you're okay with killing people, then the law saying don't bring a gun here doesn't apply to you. Killing people is a more serious infraction of the law than showing up at a gun-free zone with a gun. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a concealed carry guy. And actually, in Texas, they just call it licensed carry now. Because you can openly carry or concealed carry. And I tend to conceal carry and have my gun with me. You don't generally know when I have a gun. And you're not going to know that I have a gun unless the gun is necessary. Which, hopefully, it never will be. But if you tell me not to carry my gun there, I'll abide by the law. I abided by the law to get the gun license, to buy the weapons, to have the background checks and everything. So I'm a law-abiding citizen when it comes to carrying a gun. When it comes to the speed limit, you know what I mean? Give or take. But having said that, a bad guy doesn't care if you say don't bring a gun here. Gonna bring it anyway. Bad guy doesn't care if you say don't rob this bank or this store or this person. Doesn't care. Still gonna do it. Bad guy doesn't care. So when you make a law like gun-free zone, you're making a law for law-abiding citizens. You're not making a law. You're actually telling the criminal, we know you're going to carry the gun anyway, even though we told you not to, and we know that we're now sitting ducks. You can now prey on us, and there's nothing we can do about it. That's a problem. It's a major problem. There should be a law-abiding citizen who's gotten the proper training in gun defense class on campus everywhere at public schools in this country. Everywhere. I don't care if somebody who's just come home and is a veteran looking for work. It could be an off-duty police officer. It could be a teacher who's gone through the proper training. Without a doubt, there should be good guys with guns on these campuses because that will tell the bad guys, not only is it a gun-free zone, you might get shot in the face if you try it here. There's really no two ways about it. All right, let me go to the phone lines. A lot of people want to talk about Al Franken. I'm going to go quickly. I don't want to hear any crap that I hung up on you too fast. I'm going to go pretty quickly because I want to move on to some other stuff, and people want to opine about this as well. Let me say hello and welcome to Larry in New Jersey. Larry, what's going on?
Hey, Joe. How are you, buddy?
Living the dream, my friend. What's up?
Good. I just had a quick comment on Al Franken. I just think what I watched today was just as offensive, his apology, and he didn't take accountability to anything. That was almost as offensive as the things he's accused of. Terrible.
Well, I would agree with you. And those who are making the accusations and those who believe that he really did these things probably looked at that and said, really? That's what he's going to do? That's how he's going to say it? I mean, the end game is fine, Larry, because he's going to leave, but we just don't know when he's going to leave. And he's not really remorseful or apologetic at all. He doesn't think he did anything wrong. He really doesn't think he should be in trouble.
That's a farce. He should resign. If you're going to resign, resign today and leave today. Take accountability for what you did and get out and move on.
I hear you. I couldn't agree more, but that's not going to happen. He's not really taking accountability. He's saying things like, they feel I did something wrong. I remember it differently than that. I've done nothing since I've been a senator that would bring dishonor to this chamber. Then he complained about the president, about Roy Moore. Pretty lame, if you ask me. Rob is in Minnesota. Rob, what's going on?
Hey, Joe. I just wanted to comment on my fellow Minnesotans calling earlier. Nobody's looking at Ellison. Nobody thinks Ellison is going to get the nod. Anybody who pays attention to politics here knows that the lieutenant governor is kind of first in line to get the nod. There's a kind of a catch to that. Constitutionally, if she gets appointed, the Republican leader of the Minnesota State Senate then becomes the lieutenant governor. And that might not be something he's too eager about.
Well, I mean, the governor would have to give her the job, right? You really think that's going to happen?
Well, I think it's going to be a woman, and it's going to be somebody who's super progressive. And our Lieutenant Governor, Tina Flint-Smith, certainly meets those requirements. But if he appoints her, then the president of our state Senate, who is a Republican, then automatically becomes the Lieutenant Governor.
How strong is the Lieutenant Governor in the state of Minnesota? Some states, Lieutenant Governor is sort of a figurehead. In other states, that's the president of the Senate of the state.
Mention that because usually they're not very strong, but with Dayton, with all of his medical issues, almost every press statement that's come out over the last year has been a joint statement or a statement from Tina Flint-Smith, the lieutenant governor. So whether the new lieutenant governor would have the same kind of a power, you know, that's a great question, but it's definitely something I think is going to play into the calculus of the decision.
Very interesting. That's very good information, Rob. I appreciate it. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Carrie is in Kansas. Hi.
Hi, how you doing, Joe? Got a
good man, comments. Living a dream. What's happening?
Al Franken, I just feel like he's acting like he's the victim here. He's acting like he's been victimized.
Yeah, he is.
And Roy Moore, he isn't a senator yet. So if he isn't a senator yet, how can they do a hearing on him for ethics or for breaking rules or regulations or any kind of a law when he's not in the Senate yet?
I don't think anybody's done that yet. What they said was they're going to do that if should he win next Tuesday. The first thing they'll do is an ethics investigation.
Right, but how can they do that when he isn't a senator yet and he hasn't broken any rules or laws or regulations as a senator?
Kerry, I don't think you're listening to me. What I said was, if he wins next Tuesday, the first thing they'll do is an ethics investigation or a hearing. So they won't do it if he doesn't win.
Well, I understand that. But if he does win, how can they hold him accountable as a senator when this was all before he was a senator?
No, they're going to check the ethics because whether it happens while you're a senator or happens before you're a senator, they still want you to be, they claim this, although we're finding out lately, not really,
exactly.
But they still want you to be above a certain level. They want you to follow a certain protocol and have a certain value system that doesn't sully the, it's like saying a convicted rapist goes to prison, gets out of prison, runs for Senate. The Senate wouldn't want that person to be seated.
Correct.
And they did it before they were a senator, certainly.
Well, and I could see that point of it. But I don't understand how they can do what they're going to do when there's nothing that's actually been proven that's happened. With these others, it's already been proven. There's already allegations. There's already been, you know, payoff. I just don't understand how they can do that.
I got you. I hear you, but I don't think you're listening. And I appreciate you. You don't want somebody of ill repute or disrepute, it's ill repute, to be in the Senate. And what they're saying is, if in fact this person makes it, into the Senate, they're going to do an investigation. I'm done with Al Franken. Going to move on to some other stuff, and I appreciate you calling in. We're going to keep a close eye on it. The guy, if you say I resign, he should resign now, and he's not. He said in the coming weeks. We don't know really when that's going to be. Sounds like he wants to wield a little bit of power before he gets out of office. Going to talk about John Lewis, going to talk about Lindsey Vonn, going to talk about Jennifer Lawrence. There's a lot more to get to here on the Joe Pags Show. Stay here.
Don't be an A-dub. Stay with the Joe Pag Show.
Hard.
As the wicked winter weather takes a swipe at you, the latest info is always on air and online. News Radio 1200 WOAI.
great to have you. Welcome to the program. Thanks. It is the Joe Pags Show. 1-800-383-9624. JoePags.com. Kind of treacherous out there. Even more than kind of treacherous, it's treacherous out there in South Central Texas. It's 33 degrees in parts of the Hill Country, so therefore it's pretty much freezing. 32, of course, is freezing. And, you know, you got a situation where people aren't used to driving on this. And people are pulling off the road. And people are saying, not gonna drive it anymore. Yeah, be safe. Better be safe than sorry. You know, I also think you can go 5 miles an hour and get yourself there. But either way, don't try to get anywhere near the speed limit. I know I complain when you guys are out there, you know, going 40 into 65 and it's a little bit of drizzle. But this is a different story. This is ice. This is snow. This is sleet. And it gets scary as it gets darker out, and it's dark out now. It's gonna start sticking, gonna start getting slippery. So be extra careful out there on the roads in South Central Texas, and of course anywhere else where it happens to be snowing. But keep in mind, we're not used to it in the San Antonio area of Texas. So that's what would make the difference. Certainly 1-800-383-9624 JoePags.com. And I'm done with Al Franken. I'll give you a last little thing here. By the way, Carrie, you just jumped back into the chair. Hopefully you're not out of breath.
Yeah.
But so what are we seeing out there? I mean, we're seeing ice, we're seeing accidents, we're seeing people slip around, right?
Yeah, it's getting kind of nasty out there. I just talked to our program director. You know, he's on his way home. And the roads around San Antonio, still good. It looks like the snow when it hits and it's melting. But certainly, like I said, north about the Hill Country, there's been a lot of snow accumulation. And some of that, because the roads are so wet, you've got to be careful with patches of ice, things like that. And I just saw on one local forecast, they're forecasting a low of San Antonio as 31. So that could be a pretty big factor in overnight and tomorrow morning as far as you're on your way to work, on your way to school.
Right.
Just gotta
be careful. So be extra careful. This is something we're not used to, so make it happen. Be careful. If you really, truly don't feel like you can drive in this, just pull over, get yourself a ride there, maybe see if it blows over a little bit. But I don't think it's going to get much better. In fact,
no.
Carrie, I think you should leave probably in the next 5-10 minutes.
All right.
You should probably just head right the hell out of here.
I think
and,
I'll do that.
And head yourself
Thank
home
you.
Because I don't need that on my conscience. I slipped off the road. No, just get home safely to your
All
family.
All right, I will. Thank
meantime,
you.
I want to give you this from Representative John Lewis, who this civil rights icon. That's it. We're like forced to call him the civil rights icon, John Lewis. He's a guy that didn't go to the inauguration of President Trump, had no good reason to. As far as I know, President Trump has never done anything that's racist, but that's the allegation from somebody like a Maxine Waters or a John Lewis. It's just dumb. It just is. Well, here's the headline today. House Democrat John Lewis says he'll skip Civil Rights Museum opening over Trump's attendance. It's from Fox News not too long ago. U.S. Representative John Lewis says he won't attend the opening of Mississippi Civil Rights Museum, calling it intolerable that President Donald Trump is slated to appear. He's the president! The Georgia Democrat and civil rights icon, yes, icon, made the announcement Thursday afternoon, this afternoon, some would say, adding that he would reconsider only if Trump decides not to attend, according to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Quote, right now we're not going, Lewis told the newspaper, but there's a possibility that the head man may not show up, may cancel. Why would he cancel? Why? Why would he cancel? The lawmaker's recent comments came one day after he first expressed doubts about appearing on the same program as the president. I think his presence would make a mockery of everything that people tried to redeem, to do to redeem the soul of America and make this country better, Lewis said in comments on Wednesday. I don't understand. I'm confused. What the hell is he talking about? Several prominent Mississippi Democrats said they won't attend. Some planned protests. Lewis's House colleague, Bernie Thompson, Democrat from Mississippi, said he would not attend. In a joint statement, Lewis and Thompson explained their decision. Quote, Trump's attendance and hurtful policies are an insult to the people portrayed in the Civil Rights Museum. The struggles represented in this museum exemplify the truth of what really happened in Mississippi, reads the statement. President Trump's disparaging comments about women, the disabled, immigrants, and National Football League players disrespect the efforts of Fannie Lou Hamer, Aaron Henry, Medgar Evers, Robert Clark, James Cheney, Andrew Goodman, Michael Schwerner, and the countless others who have been given their all for Mississippi to be a better place. The White House responded to the statement late Thursday afternoon. We think it's unfortunate that these members of Congress wouldn't join the president in honoring the incredible sacrifice civil rights leaders made to the right to right the injustices in our history, Press Secretary Sarah Sanders said. The president hopes others will join him in recognizing the movement that was about removing barriers and unifying Americans of all backgrounds. John Lewis is a stark, raving racist. Period. End of story. No real conversation needs to be had. He's a stark raving racist. He hates the president because he's not black like Barack Obama was. There really is no other reason for it. I mean, the idea that in a country where you have free speech that you can't complain about NFL players, or that you can't comment on a reporter attacking you without somebody saying that you're attacking a disability or you're attacking a black person because it's a football player. That's stupid. That actually sets back any positive moves John Lewis ever made. And it's a sad shame. He should go. We got to go on TV. We're back on radio. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pags Show.
This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 800-383-9624 or go to joepags.com. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Hey, great radio stations across the land. iHeartRadio, joepags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all that and more. Glad to have you on the Joe Pags Show on a Thursday. I'm feeling all right. Oh, yeah. Grand Funk Railroad. That's how we do.
Let's go. Seems I got to have a change in scene. Because every night I have the strangest dream.
Uh-huh. Thursday, almost Friday, the weekend's almost here. Hey, be careful if it's snowing. Let's go. Oh, yeah, man. Making it happen. Yes, indeedy do. Oh, yeah. Glad to have you along for the ride. Thanks a lot. Big hour coming your way. We'll have Corey Lewandowski at the bottom of the hour. If you missed that interview in the first hour, we've got it for you again. The former campaign manager for Donald Trump, the now president of the United States of America. So make sure you stick around for that. We appreciate you taking the time. A couple of celebrities, one a sports celebrity, one an acting celebrity, an actress, are going after President Donald Trump. Because they can, I guess. I mean, people think that they're in the right just going after the current president. They really think that somehow they have the right and everybody agrees with their attacks on the president of the United States. And I'm here to tell you, they're living in some sort of strange bubble. Hey, John Lewis. No, most of us don't agree with you. Civil Rights Museum is opening in Mississippi. You're invited. Go. And if the president of the United States is there, that's okay. Go. As I've said a million different times, if the president of the United States, who was then Barack Obama or Bill Clinton at the time, if they would have invited me to the White House, you go. That's what you do. That's the president of the United States. I don't know what the question is. Because he's white and you're black, you think that you somehow are making a case? You are making things worse. Here's a guy that worked his ass off as a young man, got beaten up because of it, to make sure we had equal opportunity in this country. And now he's going to further what Barack Obama put into place by separating the races? That's pretty disgusting. Pretty damn disgusting. I'm just here to say stop. And I don't think they're going to. I just don't. So when John Lewis decides he's not going to go, and some Thompson guy I never heard of isn't going to go, and other Democrats who happen to be black, they're not going to go. I mean, they're not showing, you know, some sort of disrespect or something to the president. They're disrespecting the museum. The museum would be ridiculous not to invite the sitting president of the United States. The president of the United States, by the way, if he gets that invitation to the Civil Rights Museum, has to go to the Civil Rights Museum. Has to. He can't not. And not that he wouldn't want to. I think this president wants to. This man has employed more minorities in his life than John Lewis could ever hope to. And Barack Obama could ever hope to. It's just stupid. So that's dumb. And then, of course, we have this. I'm not necessarily a Lindsey Vonn fan, although because she competes for my country, I pull for her. I want her to win. And Polo, now Carrie's gone home because of the snow. But Polo, I mean, Lindsey Vonn, she's a good-looking lady. I mean, I don't mind seeing her ski. She's very attractive. And I want her to win. I mean, she's got that going for her, right?
I would say yes.
So why do you think she goes to the whole Donald Trump angle of competing in the Olympics? I don't get it. Did you see this?
No, I missed it.
The headline is, Olympic star Lindsey Vonn says she won't represent Trump at 2018 Winter Games. Paul, have you ever thought to yourself that the Olympic athletes go to represent the president?
No, they go to represent the country. That's why they have it on their uniforms, no?
Right. I don't remember anybody ever saying, you're going to have to wear a picture of Donald Trump on your shirt. That doesn't, no, they have a number and they have a flag. The flag, it shows a representation of the country. What's the problem?
Yeah, and I'm sure that there are plenty of other people from other countries who've gone into the Olympics and weren't supporting their president or their dictator or whoever it was, you know, that was in power. They were there because of their country and because of whatever sport they were trying to play.
Very well said.
I mean, it's just dumb.
I mean, here's the story from FoxNews.com. Olympic gold medal skier Lindsey Vonn says she'll represent the United States, but not President Trump, when she returns to the Winter Games in February. Vonn, who won a gold medal in the women's downhill competition in 2010 in Vancouver, skipped the 2014 Sochi Games because of knee injuries, says, quote, I hope to represent the people of the United States, not the president, Vonn said this week amid the buildup to the 2018 Games in Pyeongchang, I think, South Korea. Quote, I take the Olympics very seriously, and what they mean and what they represent, what walking under our flag means in the opening ceremony, she added. Quote, I want to represent our country well, and I don't think there are a lot of people currently in our government that do that. Yeah, I mean, not really sure what the hell she's talking about. Vonn also told CNN that she would absolutely not accept an invitation to the White House. So I'm going to appeal to those listening right now. And Karina, this is what I'm talking about. And I appreciate the others calling it about driving in the snow and so on. But I want to hear from people. And this is, to me, it's basically the same story. A civil rights museum highlighting and commemorating what the civil rights movement was about. What those who risked their lives and limb, and some lost their lives, what they were fighting for in the civil rights movement. So having a civil rights museum commemorates that, memorializes that, highlights that. It's a good thing for our history. It's a good thing for our country. Why we would play politics about that is nuts. I can't think of a good answer. John Lewis is a racist in my mind and is doing the wrong thing by disrespecting the museum through disrespecting the president. Lindsey Vonn, I think, is doing the same exact thing. You don't represent the president of your country when you go to the Olympics. You don't. You represent the country and you represent the hard work that you put in. You represent the opportunity you were afforded to go and be an Olympian at the Olympic Games. That's what's true. That's what's real. So the idea that a president and his presence at a museum would stop you from going makes me sick. The idea that you would tell the president, I'm not going to the White House should you be invited, and I've been invited and I was honored, and I would have gone had Obama asked me to go. That makes me sick. It's nuts. It's legitimately, there's something wrong with a person that would say I'm not going. Legitimately. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, do you think that any of this with Lindsey Vonn has anything at all to do with the fact that she used to be with Tiger Woods and he's been seen playing with golf with the president?
You know, I thought about Tiger Woods when I saw the story because they dated. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, how petty would that be?
Yeah.
I mean, that would just be nuts because I can't see any connection. You used to date him. He played golf with him. You can't go to the White House. I don't understand that.
Well, no, and that's what I'm saying. I don't know if they ended on bad terms since then. I thought they were on good terms, but lately they've been seen Tiger Woods and the president, you know, playing golf. So you know, maybe she's trying to distance herself even more. I mean, I don't know. It just kind of weird.
By the way, according to Casey, who's in Alaska, it is warmer in Wasilla, Alaska than it is in San Antonio, Texas right now.
That's crazy.
It's 40 in Wasilla, and I think it's upper 30s now in San Antonio. In the Hill Country, it's more like 33. So yeah, your thoughts on that. Would you ever, I don't care what your political background is, you get invited to the White House, would you ever turn it down? That's the first part of the question. Second part, are these people taking a stand and proving themselves righteous by not, you know, by saying no to an invitation to the White House or by saying no to going to the Civil Rights Museum because the President of the United States is going to be there, or are they as petty as I think they are? 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Glad to have you. Thanks. It is the Joe Pags Show. 1-800-383-9624. JoePags.com. Glad to have you along for the ride. Make sure you stop by the website for the email. You can join me on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. I posted a video on Instagram before it really started to snow hard in the part of Texas where I am. I'll post another one after the program that shows the heavier snow. Pretty treacherous out there if you're listening in our home area or in Kerrville or anywhere else where we're seeing snow and we normally don't. Be extra careful. Don't hit the roads if you don't have to. And if you are on the road, go really, really slowly and get to your destination safely. Don't try to push it in ice or snow like that, okay? 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. All right, people calling about Lindsey Vonn. I also want to add Jennifer Lawrence to it. Have you heard what Jennifer Lawrence had to say, Polo?
No.
Jennifer Lawrence, no fan of the president either. This is also from Fox News. Donald Trump Jr. took to Twitter Thursday today to defend his father after Jennifer Lawrence said she would happily throw a drink in the president's face. Jennifer Lawrence told The Hollywood Reporter in an interview published Wednesday, she's never met Donald Trump, but if she ever gets the opportunity, the Oscar winner is well prepared. Quote, oh my God, I've been waiting for this moment, the 27-year-old told Oprah Winfrey in the interview session. I'll give you a hint, it's not nice. Lawrence added, quote, I've got a pretty good speech, and it ends with a martini to the face. In response, Trump Jr. Tweeted on Thursday, I'm pretty sure that's not how it would end, he said. Lawrence, who's been busy tackling several movies for 2018, is eager to also take on a new role, that of educator to children. The mother actress announced she's ready to embark on high school and college campus tours throughout the country. Quote, I want to travel around to the areas I'm from so that people realize corruption is a completely nonpartisan issue, she said in her interview published in The Hollywood Reporter. I would also love to help pass a bundle of laws against government corruption. We'd be able to pass state-by-state legislation to help stop corruption in our government. She's not even saying anything. She's saying corruption. She's not saying anything specific whatsoever. Goes on to say, the story goes on to say, Lawrence is a board member for the nonprofit organization Represent.us, which aims to pass anti-corruption laws that stop political bribery and secret money and fix our broken elections. Again, all very generic, doesn't mean anything. She said fans shouldn't be surprised by her willingness to make a difference in Washington, D.C. Quote, my political passion has almost turned into an obsession, she said. I mean, I don't think you ever do feel settled, but as soon as you feel settled with your home and your personal life, you're looking at the world and going, how in the hell do I fix this? What do we do? Well, the first thing you do is you don't threaten to throw a drink in the face of the President of the United States. That could be the first thing you do. That could be right there on the agenda. And maybe, just maybe, you take your head out of your ass long enough to realize that you're somebody who reads other people's words. I mean, she says she's got a whole speech ready for the president. Will the speech have been written by somebody? Maybe from the Weinstein Company? Will the speech have been written by Hillary Clinton speechwriters? I mean, when you have an opportunity to talk to the president, you're going to say a speech and then throw a drink in his face? I have an idea. You're not as badass as you think you are. Okay? You're a great actress.
You know, and from some of the stories that I've seen about her, I highly doubt that she would want to waste a drink.
Polo, did you just go there?
I went there.
So you're there is what you're saying?
Yes.
All right, let me go to the phone line, say hello and welcome to Scott, Louisiana. Scott, what's going on?
Hey, Joe, thank you for the show. Good show, Paulo. Shout out, and boy, we miss Kerry.
Okay, right it's Polo, but either way, go ahead.
I wanted to speak to the Lindsey Vonn thing, and just to be fair about it, I'm a Cold War soldier. I joined the military shortly after Vietnam ended, went through Iraq, and just a little bit beyond that, so 22 years. And when I retired, of course, you get a letter from the president the president at the time was Bill Clinton. I was rather disgusted that he was the one that got to sign my letter of, you know, commendation or whatever, thank you for serving, thanks for your years of service type deal. Because, you know, what he did to the Oval Office was so disrespectful. I'm like, how can anybody remain in a place, in a position of such power and authority, having exposed his inner character through the things that he did in the Oval Office? And so that thing did not hang on my wall for a while. But then it was through thinking about it, and all, it is still the president. It's the office. It wouldn't matter who the president was. I would have gotten that letter because it's standard procedure. And so it's the ignorance. It's the bias. It's the prejudice. That's what clouds people's thinking. Because when you start thinking about it, you get down a brass tacks. But this is the office that's being represented. And when Lindsey Vonn goes wherever she goes in the Olympics, she's part of the Olympic team. She doesn't go as an individual. She represents the Olympic team from the United States. And if the people in the United States, although we're not a democracy, we're a representative republic, he still represents the majority of the delegates who represent the people. So I don't know how she gets around the fact that she's representing the United States, including the president.
And, well, she's not representing him specifically. I mean, I hear what you're saying, and I appreciate your phone call. Because you mentioned Kerry like you did, Stop. Because you mentioned Kerry like you did, I have to give you this. Okay, you have a good day. Had to give you that. Oh, Miss Kerry. Plus, he gets that because he called you Palo.
I mean,
how long do we have to work together before they figure out it's Polo?
I mean, it's like the shirt. I mean,
right. I mean, it's not that hard. It's like the pony. Yeah. It's like the game.
Right.
I mean, I've never called you Paolo ever.
No.
So he was getting rickrolled either way, but I do love him like a brother. I think the content of his phone call was great. But I'm going to disagree with the end game there. No, Lindsey Vonn does not represent the president. He represents the president as an American, certainly. She represents me, too, but clearly I disagree with her on a lot of stuff. But no, she's representing the flag, the country, what it symbolizes, the Constitution, this great land. And yes, the president right now happens to be Donald Trump. And the president wants to get on a plane and go to South Korea and watch some Olympics and watch her ski. There's nothing she can do about it. And she doesn't want to go to the White House. She's a free liberated American who's welcome to not go. But it would be a real ass-wagon move not to go, to be honest with you. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. It's going to be Seth in Maryland. Seth, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing?
Living a dream, man. What's happening?
I just wanted to comment. I mean, you threw in the Jennifer Lawrence thing, along with the Olympic athlete and everything. I think what they're saying is just childish, you know? It kind of, instead of belittling the president or, you know, making them look good, it just makes them look like little kids. You know, it's like middle school talk to me, you know. It just sounds stupid. And, you know.
Well, that's exactly what I was talking about. They are actually belittling themselves and showing a level of immaturity that I can't believe through just saying these things. You go to the Civil Rights Museum. You meet with the president if he invites you. You don't throw a drink in the president's face, for God's sakes.
No, right, I agree. And, you know, the whole Civil Rights Museum, you know, I totally agree with you. You know, there was many figures that fought, and including the one himself that is not going. And, you know, he's going to throw all that work away from everybody else just to make a point, you know, and it makes him look like, a jackass. So
I agree with you, and I appreciate you, and very well said. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. We will have time to take some more phone calls on this. Look, at the end of the day, what you have is a bunch of babies that are mad about who won the election. You know, I can't even imagine somebody who didn't like Barack Obama in the public square saying such things and getting away with it. You can get away with it with Trump because he's allegedly the bad guy and the greater evil. Well, he's not. Maybe in the minds of these very simple-minded people, but not for the rest of us. 1-800-383-9624. My conversation with Corey Lewandowski when we come back. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Al Franken resigned. Now the Democrats will call on the Republicans to throw one of their own over. Should you? Coming up at 8 on the Michael Berry Show.
Radio station. stations across the land, iHeartRadio, JoePags.com, also Newsmax TV. Glad to have you along for the ride, and really glad to have this guy on. It's Corey Lewandowski, the former campaign manager for Donald Trump for president. He's got a brand new book out called Let Trump Be Trump, the inside story of his presidency. It's out now, hot off the presses a couple of days ago. Corey, how are you?
Hey, Joe, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on today.
I really appreciate having your time today, Corey. I've seen a couple of other things that you've done, and one thing really jumped out at me, and I want to start here. You said that you never had any intention of running a political campaign. Well, then how the hell did it happen?
You know, I'll tell you, Joe, I grew up in a blue-collar town of Lowell, Massachusetts, yeah. Where I learned the value of hard work and work ethic and loyalty. And by sheer dumb luck, I have no other tangible skills, so I decided to get into politics. I came from a very apolitical family, and I had never thought I'd be involved in a presidential campaign, let alone given the privilege and honor of running one, let alone being part of a winning one.
Right.
But that hard work that I learned in Lowell, Massachusetts, and that dedication, devotion, and never-quit attitude brought me to the precipice, the pinnacle of Republican Party politics. I had the privilege of sitting next to the candidate, and now the president of the United States for a period of time. It's been an amazing journey.
It's Corey Lewandowski. He's written this book with David Bossy. It's called Let Trump Be Trump. And the title might sound a little bit aloof, but it's not. I mean, this guy is unique. He's a unique fixture in America in that he was known for 30 and 40 years as somebody who was famous, somebody who was building things. He was building things under budget and early. He would finish very different than other builders. And then he sort of started hinting, I don't know, 7-8 years ago, that maybe I'll look at a political run. And then he got serious about it. When he calls you and says, hey, Corey, here's what I'm going to do. Do you immediately, I don't know what your relationship was then, do you immediately say, well, let's talk about it, Mr. Trump, or do you immediately say, I'm on board?
I'll tell you, Joe, I write about this in the book. I think it's chapter 2 or 3. It's my history of meeting Donald Trump, and it was the most surreal thing. Because my friend and co-author, Dave Bossy, asked me to go see Mr. Trump in his office in Trump Tower in one early day of January of 2015. And I said, what am I going to go see him for? And he said, look, Corey, he may run for office and he'd like to talk to you. I said, come on, Dave, we know this isn't going to happen. Like everybody else, I was a naysayer.
Yeah.
And within 15 minutes of me having the privilege of sitting in front of him, he convinced me not only was he going to run for office, that he was going to win, that he had all the resources financially and otherwise necessary to be successful, that his family was going to be on board, and they was going to run a different kind of campaign. And he asked me if I would join him on this journey and start to put the pieces in place to help him be successful. And I instantly stood up. I shook his hand. I said, yes, I will. He said, you're hired. And that's how we started this thing, with two guys, Mr. Trump and myself. And then we built a small team. I called it the Island of Misfit Toys.
Yeah.
People who had never worked in politics before, who had one vision to change the country for the better. Without their own desire to become famous or successful. It was all about Trump, and that's what that campaign was. And, you know, this book is a very honest, very raw assessment of how that went for the good, the bad, and the ugly.
It's Corey Lewandowski. He's a co-author along with Dave Bossy of a book called Let Trump Be Trump, the inside story of his presidency. Corey, how did this campaign mechanism come together? What I mean is, you're right, it was completely different than anything we'd ever seen. If somebody attacked him, he attacked twice as hard. He had no problem tweeting about people, making fun of them, coming up with names like Lion Ted and Little Marco. Was that sort of on that island where you guys were all together and he said, here's the right tactic? Or did he do it, then you guys had to react to it?
Well, almost everything on the campaign, I like to say that this campaign was 99.9% Donald Trump and 0.01% the entire rest of the staff.
Okay.
And, you know, did we try and react to some of his tweets? Sure, we did. Were many of those articulated ahead of time and discussed about the pros and cons? Well, of course they were,
yeah.
Right? But he's a forward-looking person. He's the greatest marketer, the greatest brander I think our country's ever seen. When you think of Lion Ted and Little Marco and Crooked Hillary,
yeah.
And all of the other names, you know, the term of fake news, which he coined, and so many others, he is so good at articulating things at the most simplistic level that people instantly grasp what he's talking about, they can understand it, and that's why he was so successful during the presidential campaign, because he was bold, he was brash, he acts like a blue-collar billionaire, and we talk about it in the book.
Yeah.
He eats McDonald's and Kentucky Fried Chicken and pizza like everybody else does. And he took that message to the American people, and it gave rise to 10, 20, 30,000 people turning out to see him at these rallies across the country. And what he started was truly a movement, and it was an amazing thing to see.
The name of the book is Let Trump Be Trump. We're talking to Corey Lewandowski, the former campaign manager for Donald Trump for president. You hit on something that's really, really important there. Hillary Clinton and the left in this country pretend to be of the people and for the people. Donald Trump says, I live in this ivory tower. Everything in my apartment is gold, yet I truly am like you. And I didn't buy it, just like you might not have bought it before that meeting with him. But when you talk with the guy, and he talks on your level, and he talks about McDonald's and football, and we've got to build America and love our country, he really does show that he's for the people, although he's worth, you know, anywhere between $4 and $10 billion, right?
Joe, he's so for the people. And if you look around the country, and this is a general statement, but look who supported candidate Trump.
Yeah.
Blue-collar workers, people who have been left behind, people who've worked in factories who said, you know what, we can do better because we used to be better. People who say, I want to be proud to be Americans again. Law enforcement, firefighters, first responders, military at disproportionate numbers. You know, those are the people, the heart and soul of this great country, came out and supported Donald Trump, unlike the limousine liberals, the country club Republicans.
Yeah.
You know, those are the people that were afraid of Trump because he is a change agent. And what he talked about in the campaign, and it's in the book, and what he brought to Washington, D.C., was a new mindset, a new way of doing things. And that scares the pants off of the establishment and the people who've made a very good living getting nothing done for a long time.
The name of the book is Let Trump Be Trump. It's Corey Lewandowski. Corey, how the hell did he do it? How did he get Wisconsin? How did he get Pennsylvania, Ohio? How did he get Michigan, for goodness sakes? Because, again, we all know he's rich. We all know he's famous. We all know he's a TV star. He still somehow was able to hit something in the hearts and minds of these people. What was it?
Well, number one, he just sheer outworked his opponents.
Yeah.
I mean, between the 16 Republican primary challengers and his general election opponent, he just outworked her. Hillary Clinton was taking a nap for a week before a presidential debate.
Donald Trump
was doing seven stops a day in four different time zones and just kept going. And there's one section in the book, and it has not gotten any credit, but it should, of the amount of time we spent on his airplane. We bought 998,000 gallons of jet fuel in a year and a half for the campaign. We put the plane down in 45 cities, made 722 stops. I mean, it was amazing the amount of time we traveled, how much time he traveled and put in on that airplane.
The name of the book is...
The reason being is he just wanted to get things done. And his message, Joe, he would go to blue-collar towns of Pennsylvania and say, don't you think it's unfair that China is ripping us off on trade, that countries are manufacturing and sending to us, and we're the suckers who are buying it? And these people understand that there was a time where that wasn't the case, that they used to not have to apologize to being American, and then everybody started becoming a globalist. Everybody had to be worried about what happened in all the rest of the world and stopped caring about what happened here. And the mainstream media made Americans feel bad about being Americans. And what Donald Trump said is, if you elect me, I'm going to make America great again. I don't care. I'm not running to be the prime minister of Great Britain or the premier of some other country. I'm going to run to put America first.
Yeah.
And it is a notion that was the complete opposite of the previous 8 years of the Obama administration, and that's what propelled him to victory, amongst other things.
I want you to go and get the book. It's called Let Trump Be Trump, The Inside Story of His Presidency, written by David Bossie and my guest, Corey Lewandowski, former campaign manager. They tried every tactic. Corey, they tried everything. He's a womanizer. He's a sexual abuser. He's a tax cheat. He's a white supremacist. As these attacks come in, by the way, he's told me this face to face. He was stunned that the media, he thought they were his friends because he made a lot of millions of dollars for NBC on The Apprentice. He was stunned that the media came at him like they did. How do you continue to take those hits and still end up winning on November 8th?
He did it through sheer velocity of the media attention he got. Look, he generated $4 billion in earned media.
Wow.
And what this candidate did as a 70-year-old and now a 71-year-old president, he mastered social media. His social media activity revolutionized the way people campaign. Between his Twitter followers, Facebook, Instagram, the whole thing, he can reach out and bypass the mainstream media and fight back against the false narrative.
And they hate that,
like
don't they? They hate it. They hate it, don't they?
Oh, of course they hate it because it takes all their power away, because it goes directly to the people, the mainstream media, the elitists, the people in the ivory tower of, you know, higher education, the globalists. They hate the fact that Donald Trump goes directly to the people with a message that they don't agree with.
It's stunning that he got it done. I'm glad he did. I voted for him. I'm glad that you were a part of it. But it seems to me, and this is true, by the way, the book is Let Trump Be Trump. Go and get it. The title of the book suggests this, Corey. If you have to write Let Trump Be Trump, I'm guessing there might have been some inner workings in the campaign where people were saying, he's got to stop being so Trump. Was there a moment before it was sure that he'd be the nominee? Was there a moment where you guys collected on that island and said, somebody's got to talk to him about these tweets because we fear they're going to hurt him?
Well, sure there was, because, look, what happened is you get closer to being the Republican nominee, more and more people all of a sudden become your friends who weren't your friends before,
right?
And everybody wants to give the same advice. If you are the vanilla, boring candidate, you will not offend anybody, and if you offend anybody, you can't get elected. And what we said was, sir, don't change. Don't ever change. What we want you to do is be the same person. Be you, and you will be successful. If you change and you turn into the same vanilla candidate that every other Republican has run, then you're going to lose. And he didn't want to do that.
Why, when you said vanilla candidate, did I get a picture of John Kasich in my head? Just my head, Corey. You didn't say his name. I'm just saying.
Well, I didn't say 1 for 49, John. I didn't say 1 for 49, John. When he won one state out of 50, he did a fine job.
All right, it's Corey Lewandowski, former campaign manager. Last question. I think this is a big deal for the president. I know it is, because I think that's why I keep getting Eric on. That's why I had the opportunity to go to the White House and interview the president. He believes in loyalty. Loyalty is key for him. But you are in, then you are out, yet you still appear to be in. So is it a matter of loyalty goes further than just about anything else for him? Or is there something else going on?
Well, I used to say in the campaign, I write about this in the book, this campaign was really about two things. One, our loyalty, meaning the staff loyalty to the candidate, was absolute.
Yeah.
And his loyalty to the staff was absolute. So just because I wasn't employed by the campaign anymore doesn't mean I didn't do everything humanly possible and go into the octagon of CNN every night on an 8-on-1 to fight for him, because that's what I knew the right thing to do was.
Right.
And loyalty is so important in life.
Now, are you still talking to him on a regular basis?
You know, I've got an amazing privilege. I had the opportunity to present the book to President Trump last week when him. He was very kind and gracious. He asked me to sign it to him, which I did. And I'll tell you, I never would have had this type of life experience if it wasn't for Donald Trump. I write all about it in the book. I'm a poor kid from Lowell, Massachusetts who grew up and got lucky.
We've got a lot more that we can talk about. We've just burned through 13 minutes like it was nothing, Corey. I really appreciate the time. Let Trump Be Trump, the inside story of his presidency, written by Corey Lewandowski and also David Bossy. Well, can we do it again, my friend?
Oh, Joe, it'd be my honor. You tell me when, I'd be honored to come back on. You're so good. Thank you.
I absolutely appreciate it. It's Corey Lewandowski. Go and get the book, Let Trump Be Trump. We're back after this in the Joe Pags Show. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
Protection. News Radio 1200, WOAI.
Hey, great to have you. Welcome. It is the Joe Pags Show. 1-800-383-9624, joepags.com. Pleasure to talk to Corey Lewandowski. We'll have him back. Great conversation. Had great fun talking to him. Some people want to talk about Lindsey Vonn and Jennifer Lawrence and these idiots that, well, I'm not going to talk to the president. I'm going to throw a drink in his face. I'm not representing him, and he's a bad guy. Blah, blah, blah. It just, they have to understand it. It's old now. He won more than a year ago. He's in office for 11 months almost now. Enough. And the positive changes that have happened in this country should make these people say, you know, I wasn't for the guy. I wasn't. But, man, he's done some great things. But they're not saying that. They want to pretend like he's done nothing right. He's done so much right. Let me go to the phone line, see where you are on all this. It's going to be Matthew in Kentucky. Matthew, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, Joe?
Living a dream, man. What's happening?
I'd just like to comment on Jennifer Lawrence's comment. Little Miss Jennifer and I are from the same town. She got extremely lucky. In my opinion, her acting skills are subpar, to say the least. She has, ever since she's gotten famous, quote unquote, she has done nothing to help the people in her own community. She set up some kind of charity foundation, but she's only been to town a couple of times, maybe like some kind of benefit dinner or something. And then she wants to go on the world stage and act like she's standing up for all these minorities and other people. Put your money where your mouth is. That's what I got to say to her. She is an idiot. You said it just right.
I got you. All right. Yeah, you know, I can't say anything negative about starting a charity and helping people out with the proceeds of your business. And how many times you've been there or not, who knows? I will, however, and I don't take away from him, man. He has every right to say that. I will, however, call you out when you're so stupid as to say, I've got a speech I would say to the president and throw a martini in his face. That's somebody who's stuck in La La Land. That's somebody who's stuck in Hollywood. That's somebody who really thinks that's how the world works. The world doesn't work that way. That's somebody who hasn't had a real job in a very long time and hasn't really mixed with the people in a very long time. And so she would never understand the same wavelength that Donald Trump is on, because he does understand the regular folks. And he does understand that life doesn't work like a movie. Let me go back at it and say hi to John in New York. John, make it quick for me. What's up?
Hello?
John, you're on. Make it fast. Let's go.
Yeah, Lindsey Vonn with her statement, if she's really true to her feelings, just don't go.
Boom. Done and done. Have a nice day. Yeah, no, I'm with you. Don't go to the Olympics. If you're afraid of winning and being invited to the White House, and then you'd have to stand firm, and don't go and represent the flag, the country, the Constitution, nor those who represent us in Washington or in Tallahassee or in Olympia or whatever. Yeah, that's a pretty good statement. Joe, I wonder if you can do it in about 30 seconds. Go.
All right. I was going to say with Lewis, he should be disinvited. With the Olympians, they should all have to sign something that says no politics, or they get on an airplane and go straight back. And I'd remind Jennifer Lawrence that threatening the president is assault, and throwing anything at the president is battery. She should be guilty.
There you go. There you go. The Secret Service is going to come and check her martini bar and see what the heck she's talking about. Let's do some pop culture. Bap!
Dirty pop.
Hi, Paula, make it happen. What's going on?
All right, so you remember that story with Taylor Swift and that DJ, that big old thing that ended up getting her, I guess, on the cover of, was it Time Magazine?
I don't know. Oh, yeah. Yes, where he allegedly grabbed her rear end while he took a picture, yes.
Right, and I guess he was also trying to turn around and sue her for $3 million, saying that, I guess, she was, I guess, basically lying. And
he wanted the money that he lost as a DJ, right? But he lost, yeah.
Right, he lost. And then I guess since Taylor Swift won, he was forced to pay, I guess, or ordered to pay a symbolic $1 to Taylor Swift for groping her and all that stuff. And so I guess what he did, I guess because he wanted to get, like, the last jab in there, he sent her one of those Sacagawea coins to give
Come
her
on.
The dollar.
Really?
Yeah, because I guess he was saying it was all about women and everything else. Here you go. Yeah.
That guy just needs to let it rest now. He lost badly. Yeah. Gotta go for Polo, for Carrie, for Karina, for Sam. Joe Pags back again tomorrow, same time, same place. See you later.
You're listening to Joe Pags.